The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the RPG Years, your one-stop shop for all things JRPGs from the past, present and dragooning future places. Yes, hello everyone, and welcome back to the RPG Years. I am Bill.
And I'm Frost.
Yes, and we are back today to talk to you about the next segment of The Legend of Dragoon. What segment are we in? Is this segment five?
This is five. We're halfway there.
Are we? I'll have to extend it. No, I wouldn't do that, I promise. So yes, welcome to segment five of The Legend of Dragoon. But this is, of course, a RPG podcast. We're going to talk about some other things first. So, Frost, what have you been up to the last couple of days? What have you been playing?
I have exclusively been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Just Rebirth?
Just Rebirth. I haven't... Well, because we're recording this a week later, so I finished Legend of Dragoon a week ago. I finished Golden Sun a week ago. We need all those dates, huh? When are we supposed to do all those by?
They're supposed to be done by the 7th of April. Because I was having like a panic attack that I'd missed the segment deadline. But no, I just have two segments to achieve by Sunday that I haven't even started. So, fun times.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll come back to the club in a second. Yeah, so I'm playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's really good. That's all I've been playing, and it's really engaging, and I keep finding myself doing all the side content. Like last night, I loaded up the game, and I was like, "Oh, I can race chocobos at the Gold Saucer now." And I was like, "So I did that for like way too long," and then I played the card game for way too long, and then like 2 hours went by, and I'm like, "I have not taken one step forward towards the end of this game in like 4 days because I'm just running around completing side quests." But they're really fun, and there's a lot of mini games.
So well, that's good. It's unusual that mini games and side quests are that engaging.
It's like Breath of Fire 3.
Yes. The pinnacle of mini game design, shall we say. Or not.
I just got to Gungaga. You actually get like a that scene where you have Aerith meets Zack's parents.
Oh yes.
From the original. So you get that, and it was a little emotional. To see her talk about it.
I thought they would go a bit ham on that scene. But yeah. The real thing about Gungaga, which has been... I've been dying to know. Because I've seen chat about it on the Discord, and I'm like, I have no idea what people are talking about. They've talked about how difficult it is to travel around Gungaga. There's some sort of jumping mechanic. So I wanted to ask, like, what is it? What's going on?
So the game's broken up into regions, and so I just left Corel, which was a mixture of like the mountains the seaside by Costa del Sol, and then the desert, right? So the desert around the Gold Saucer. Yep. And Gongaga is a jungle. So there's a lot of impassable terrain. You kind of have to like navigate around different like water features and hills that you can't climb and things like that. And there's also a mechanic where the jungle chocobos can hop onto like a giant mushroom and then propel themselves way up into the air or across, ravines and things like that. Whoa. So there's been a lot of rancor about
don't you rancor me,
how difficult it's been to, how difficult it's been to navigate. But I haven't found that yet, but I just got to Gongaga, so I haven't tried to do all the side content yet in the region. I just finished the Costa del Sol Corral region. I just completed that.
I mean, so how does that feel like it fits with the Final Fantasy VII world, like bouncing chocobos off of giant mushrooms?
I think that's about right.
I'll say the only thing I can think of is like the little jungle thing where you have to move the frogs about after you defeat Ultima Weapon.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only thing I can think of where that's kind of a similar aspect, because you have to put the frogs and you get like eaten and spat out by plants. That'll be interesting in the third one. Final Fantasy VII, Rancor.
Yeah. There you go. We got it. We found the name.
We've nailed it. It's the universe is speaking to us, Frost. If you believe in that sort of stuff, the universe keeps revealing the word Rancor to us. So there we go.
There was a, and then last night, so I, Cloud said, I won't spoil anything, but Cloud said something to Aerith about Zach. And I was like, fuck you, Cloud. I like yelled it at my screen. I was like, what the fuck? You have no idea what's going on. Just get out of here.
Mentioned so, Zach.
What?
He mentioned Zach.
Well, Aerith brought up Zach and he was like, Zach? No, I don't know Zach. And then he said something about like, I won't say it, but he says something about why. Basically, she's like, well, he stopped writing like 4 years ago. And then he says something and I'm like, ah.
4 years ago? That's about when we got locked in a tube together.
Well, he doesn't remember that, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. If he mentioned something about Zach, I'd be like, what? Don't do this game.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Good. Good. God. Yeah. More.
He said, I worry. Me? Gongaga?
That would be amazing.
I don't know. That's probably going to show up somewhere, I bet. But we'll see.
And what was the town with the apples in Crisis Core?
Oh, Benora.
Benora. I really want Benora to be somewhere in the remake.
Well, it got blowed up.
Yeah, I know, but I just want there to be like a hole in the ground somewhere and someone to say, oh, this was where Benora used to be.
Oh, this was...
they made such lovely
apples.
That
was like my... that was one of my favorite things. So when I was playing last night and I finally got to Gongaga, Under the Apple Tree started playing the song, the
oh really
Angeal song. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is great. Overall, still 10 out of 10. Love the game. Can't put it down. 50 something hours in.
Surely Benora should have been somewhere near Gongaga if that's where Zach's parents end up.
Well, I don't no, because Angeal's from a different part. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, no,
exactly.
Benora was Angeal's hometown, wasn't it? I'm getting confused. It's been so long since I played Crisis Core. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Anyway, have you been playing anything?
Yes, I have been, I've got all these club games I need to pick up on. And obviously, we've got, I'm trying to play through Yeast 4 at the moment as well. I've been kind of looking forward to the next club game, which is going to be, next RPG list game. So after Legend of Dragoon, which will be Warsong. Which is also Langrisser? Langrisser? I want to say.
No idea.
It was called Warsong back in the day on the Mega Drive, but it's part of a series of games called the Langrisser. And there's like five of them, and one and two were remade for the Switch. So Langrisser 1 is the same game as Warsong. So I've been doing all that sort of research. And I did also, Frost, I did a really good thing where I went through all the old episodes that Scott and Rich did and I've created a spreadsheet on the master list of all the RPG Club games and all the episodes that relate to them. So there is now a new tab on the master list, which is called RPG Clubhouse. So for any new listeners who come in, because I know we've had two or three who have come in and said like, oh, where do I find all the old ones? It's just like, well, you'll have to trawl through the episodes and then randomly guess that, you know, this part four of this club was actually at the end of the Persona 5 part two review.
Yeah.
which it took me bloody ages to figure that out for us. It's like, where is this segment? I can't find it anywhere. Yeah, it was at the end of the Persona 5 part 2 review. So yeah, anyway, so I've made that. So you can go there and you can see like the Wild Arms one, and it tells you what all the segments are. And if you click on the link, it will take you to the episode where we discussed it. Because yes, not all the episodes were titled with RPG Club. to go through it. So that was a bit of hard work. And then, of course, I've put in, because I've got all these lovely games to play for the podcast, I put in about 12 hours into Final Fantasy 12.
Yep. I guess we'll talk about how far you got a little bit later.
Yes. But yeah, I just suddenly got a bee in my bonnet, and I've just absolutely been loving every second of playing Final Fantasy 12, trying to do all the end game content. It's so good. It's so good. It really is. But yeah, that's it from me, really.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of the RPG Club, we are playing Golden Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the current segment ends this weekend, the 7th of April. And we are supposed to get to the point right before you get on the boat to go to Tolby.
That's right.
So, Bill, I assume you're really close to being there, because we have to do this and Legend of Dragoon in the next 4 days. So I assume you're just about done, right?
You mean just about to start?
No.
Yeah, I mean, because we've got a double header next week, Frost. So which one are we going to do first next week? Are we going to do Legend of Dragoon, or are we going to do Golden Sun?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think as we're doing Legend of Dragoon now, next week should be Golden Sun and Legend of Dragoon. But we'll do Golden Sun first. So I will start playing the Golden Sun segment tonight. And then once I finish it, I'll then start on the Legend of Dragoon segment. Then that might give me an extra bit of time to try and beat it.
All right. I have one note. I usually don't take notes for Golden Sun because it's so simple. It's like the story's like really simple compared to like what's going on in Legend of Dragoon.
Yep.
But I did make one note, and I was like, "Bill's gonna love this desert." Is the only thing I wrote down for this segment.
I bloody love deserts, so I'm sure I will. Always my favorite area in an RPG. I fucking hate deserts.
It's a doozy.
Oh.
Anyway.
Don't say it. Don't say it, Frost. Anyway, yeah, so I will hopefully be getting through those segments. So wish me luck, everybody. I'm going to need it. Why do I do this to myself? I mean, that's what I mean. Like 12 hours of FF12. I could have done both segments.
You could have, yep.
I just couldn't stop playing. I've done so many.
That's why I played 86 hours of FF12 12 months ago.
I know. Well, I did what I needed to do at the time. And then I stopped. And now I've gone back. You should never go back. Anyway. Fun times. Anyway, let's get into the news, shall we?
Sure.
Let's find out what's going on in the world.
Hear ye, hear ye. Gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
Bring out your news.
Hear ye, hear ye. Yep.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Where's the news tab?
Fuck Dawntrail. Is that the first bit of news?
All right, so we have two pieces of real news, as yesterday was April Fool's Day, and we're getting all our remakes and everything that everyone ever wanted. I actually saw there was a post where someone was like, April 1st is the day where developers put out false statements giving us everything we ever wanted, never realizing that what we want is just a joke to them.
That does track. That is completely accurate.
Let's see. All right, so we have two bits of news, both Final Fantasy related. So first off, Final Fantasy 16's DLC. There was some information about that. So it is called Rising Tide, I believe, because it's Leviathan based. And yeah, there's a DLC, Rising Tide. There's going to be a new ally. I don't know what you call him, like a party member that you can't control. It's a, whatever. Anyway, I don't know if I've talked on this podcast about Final Fantasy 16. But anyway, apparently you're going to fight Leviathan. You're going to get some new weapons. Yeah, I don't know. There were some game fixes that they're putting in a free update, so you don't have to buy the DLC to get those fixes. Like, there's a return to quest giver immediately button, so you don't have to run all the way back to the quest giver every time you do a quest.
What? Is that a thing? That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't...
Can I get that in FF12?
Usually, the thing is... I don't know if this is actually a problem. Is this a problem? Because most of the time the quest givers are in towns. There's usually a waypoint next to the town. Like, I don't know how that's it's going to save you like 15 seconds every time you. But there are like 45. I'd say there's like 45 million quests, so that adds up.
45.
And
I could have already completed. I'm like nowhere. I'm like only like sort of 10 hours into the game, but I feel like I could have completed it if I hadn't done any of the quests.
Yeah.
But instead, I was mopping them all up.
They're making it so that you can save icon abilities to like different loadouts, so that you know you can have your boss loadout, your regular grinding loadout, things like that. So that's useful. Let's see. They said abilities and accessories have been adjusted to make them easier to use. I don't know. That must be specific to certain ones.
I don't remember being
difficult. And they also allow for customizable button layouts.
Yay!
So most stuff that should have been in the game already.
Hey, not like, what are you trying to say? Square release unfinished games?
And they also said they're it says countless new orchestration roles. This can't be right. How can it be countless? That literally means it's an infinite number.
Yes. I mean, maybe it's like an algorithm, so it's like random.
Random music.
Random music generator. That's what it's got to. They've used an AI bot to imitate Umatsu music. It just randomly generates it. genius.
I think, and it's the guy who did the combat director was the director of Dissidia, so you made a comment about that.
God, yeah, it's just like, oh no, yeah, this is the FF14 stuff, isn't it? Yeah, it's just if the combat director of Dissidia is going to be the guy doing the new stuff for Thornhout, then everybody needs to start playing FF14 now. There's no time to delay. We cannot waste time. We must play the game before this guy ruins it.
Oh God,
it must be done.
So anyway, I'm not exactly looking forward to all this DLC and stuff, but I will eventually. I'll do what I did with 15 and like a couple years ago. I'll grab everything and redo the whole thing on hard mode. So,
how was 15 second time round?
Shorter. 15 second time around. I think it was about the same for me. I think I liked it more the first time. I don't know. The second time around was still a couple of years ago. But what I've always said is that 15 is the worst game I've put 100 hours into.
Oh, you won't.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest 7.
So, but I'm only at 70 hours for 16, so we'll see.
Okay. And then I think there's
also some 14 news, right? So yeah, but I think Dawn Trail.
I'm sure it was 14 expansion. News that I was commenting on with the
No, that was 16 news.
Was it 16? I got too confused.
I think you wrote 14 in the 16 news chunk. Anyway, it doesn't matter. No one's listening. Anyway, pre-orders are available.
Yeah, it was
for FF14 Dawn Trail DL expansion, and they are set to release in June, right after we finish Legend of Dragoon. You can go right into Dawn Trail.
Yay! I'd have to do the other five expansions first.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is that there's some FF9 references in Dawn Trail. Like, there's some in-game bonuses. Like, there's some earrings. There's an arc mount. You know, Arc from FF9, the giant robot Gundam fighter
super
thing.
Summon thing that you get towards the end.
Yeah, I don't know what minions are in FF14, but there's like a tiny Zidane and a tiny Garnet. I don't know what they do. Look like dolls. And you can get the Chocobo brush for brushing
your chocobos. Ever wanted to brush a chocobo? Now you can.
So there was some thought that maybe this meant that there was going to be a tie-in to a FF9 remake or something like that. But from the people I talked to who play 14, they seem to do this thing kind of quite a bit. And it's not really related to anything. So who knows?
Yep, fair enough. And then finally, Dragon Quest III. And I'm pretty sure this wasn't an April Fool's.
It was the day before.
It was the day before, so I'm hoping so. But yes.
So someone said that PlayAsia posted...
Well, it's a YouTuber called David or David Inc.
Dave from Square Enix Music Online.
Yes, Dave from Square Music Online, our favorite Square Music Online music reviewer, which, oh my God, that website is just... an incredible treasure trove that I never knew existed, Frost. Oh my God, that website. I found some amazing things through that. Thank you, Dave of Square Enix. You have actually improved my quality of life. But anyway, this guy, I've watched him loads on YouTube. And Square Enix quite often send him advanced copies of stuff. And the reason I like him is because he's not afraid to trash it if it's actually crap. And he has been like, yes, I got sent this early. And you know what? It's total shite. he sent a screenshot of Dragon Quest III 2D HD remix from a random... It was just a clip of a website, which looks like it's coming from like maybe PlayAsia or somewhere weird. But yeah, I actually have trust that David wouldn't troll me like that. So maybe it's coming, Frost. Oh God, I hope it's coming.
Maybe 4 years coming.
I know. The picture though is hilarious. It's just a black background with Dragon Quest III written on it. So I immediately pasted my my cartoon picture of me into it and used it as my avatar. Oh, good stuff.
We also have a question. We don't have any question transition music.
But, questions for the show. It's time for questions. Time for questions. Time for questions for the show.
There we go. Mike from Mike's Unaudio Only Let's Plays. Unaudio?
Unaudio. Yes, he mutes his audio before he starts. You have to just imagine what he's doing. Wow, that's taking the concept to a whole new level. So what was the question? I've lost it.
All right. He says, do you think JRPG protagonist hair is soft to the touch or hard and unyielding? Could Cloud Strife accidentally take your eye out?
I think it depends. Cloud is definitely hard and unyielding. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at people like Squall and Titus... definitely soft to the touch for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dart is going to take you. He's probably going to accidentally take your kidney out if he falls over and like knocks into you.
So you think on a scale of zero to Waka, right? You think Cloud's on the Waka end of it, right?
I've got to look up a picture of Waka quickly, just to remind myself. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. No, he's full something about Mary, isn't he? He's woken up in the morning and Lulu's opened the tent door and he's just gone up. Slapped his hand through his hair. Hi, Lulu. And then that was the day he met Titus. He's like, I don't normally look like this. Nobody told me. My hair was up the whole time.
Oh, there is a good bit in Rebirth where they find a chocobo chick. Or not a chocobo chick. It's some sort of bird. It's not a chocobo. But its hair looks like Cloud. They're like... They make comment about it. So.
Oh, brilliant. Is that the bit in Corel when you're on the train tracks?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you'd find like a bunch of Phoenix Downs if you killed the mother. God, it's so harsh.
They dealt with that a little differently in the remake.
Oh, cool. I look forward to that sort of stuff. Oh, fun times. So what about you? Do you think it'll be hard to touch?
I think so. I think I agree with you. I think it depends on the protagonist, but I think when it's all spiky like that, I think it's meant to be hard, like gelled or
hairsprayed and everything. They've gone full Hulk. Yeah. Yeah, and Wacker is just a law unto himself. He's a danger. Danger.
Okay. Well, thank you for the question, Mike, from Mike's unedited audio only Let's Plays.
Unaudio Let's Plays.
Unaudioed.
I love that.
It would be like a silent YouTube video.
Yes. With a blank screen. It'll just have a header. Final Fantasy X. <10. laughs> To Zancolin.
Trust me, I'm playing.
I'm playing. Final Fantasy VII. Grinding Blitzball.
Yeah.
It's just a 10-hour blank video. Be more entertaining than Grinding Blitzball for Wacker's ultimate weapon. Anyway.
Why are we here? What's the real reason we're here today?
We're here to talk about Legend of Dragoon, Part 4. Part 5?
Part 5.
Oh my god.
Cue the club music.
What is this?
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get here, baby. No underlevel scrubs. So why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
So, last we spoke, we had fallen into the sea, although we kind of spoke later on in a different episode about what happens when you fall into the sea. But last we spoke, we had fallen into the sea. Rose has jumped after us. Or I forgot who fell in first. And we end up in a cave.
I think it's Rose, isn't it? And Dart's like holding on to her, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, I can't remember.
As they were falling off the ship, Dart was holding on to Rose. Yeah, they fell off into the water. Everyone's like, yeah. And then, yeah, you wake up in a cave and... Rose has got Dart's head in her lap, stroking his his extremely rocky hair. Can't try not to prick her fingers.
That'll take your eye out. Definitely.
Yeah, that'll definitely take your eye out. And then, and then she's kind of getting really emotional. And then we get the really, really cool flashback, don't we?
Yes. So this is the FMV. We talked a little bit about this. In the, was it the Golden Sun, the first Golden Sun one? I don't know. But you get a flashback to a battle between the Winglies and the Dragoons 11,000 years ago. And you see Rose there 11,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you think about that, Bill?
I'd already guessed it, so it wasn't really that surprising.
How is she 11,000 years old?
I don't know. Time travel? How do you think?
I have some thoughts, but we'll find out. We're only on disc 3, so.
Oh, you are. Am I on disc 3? Yeah. I can't remember if I'm on disc 3.
Oh, no. I hope so.
Yeah, but you've done the next segment as well, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No. No, this one and disc 3 is in the middle of this one. We switched discs, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm. But yeah, it's so cool, this scene where they're having this like epic battle between them and all the Viragers.
Yep.
And the Viragers look like they're attacking some sort of giant dragon, I think.
Yeah, and it's like inside sort of like a palace or...
Yeah, or some sort of floating... Like it looks like a floating city to me.
I would say that it gives me Tales of Vesperia vibes, but you never got to that part of the game, so... I
just... Stop. I'm stuck in the desert. There's no point in playing games once you get to the desert. It's just boring. Why leave me in the desert? Oh, stop reminding me about Tales of Vesperia. It's like I need to. I was really enjoying that game, but I just couldn't find time to play it. Oh, I need to play that. And Skies of Arcadia. Let's not talk about these things.
No,
things are all dead.
Speaking of Skies of Arcadia, someone put out one of those April Fool things yesterday, and it was like the Dreamcast Mini. They're like, finally, the Dreamcast Mini. And I looked at like the games they're on. I was like, Skies of Arcadia should have been on this made up thing. Like,
how could you miss it? How could you miss Skies of Arcadia on the Dreamcast Mini?
Yeah. Anyway, Rose is talking to someone named Zeke. Say Zeke. Is that how you'd pronounce that?
I think so. What, during the cutscene, yeah?
Yeah. So Zeke is the red-eyed dragoon in the distant past,
mm-hmm.
Who's fighting with Rose. And... eventually, they're fighting, and is it the evil emperor?
I don't.
The emperor of the Winglies?
I don't know who it is. It's just like this bald guy, isn't it? Does she actually mention who it is?
Well, my note says he was the emperor of the Winglies, so yeah. I guess that's right.
I assume that's who it was.
But as right before the emperor dies, he turns Zeke to stone. And then the tower that they're in like collapses all around them.
Because Zeke kind of does like an explosion attack, doesn't he? Holding onto this thing's face. And there's where Sheena from 2,000 years ago or 11,000 years ago does an arrow to the eye of this Virage and it falls down.
Right, yeah. So there's like there's like a 11,000-year-old version of like a counterpart for all the different... dragoon spirits that we have.
This was epic. Like, it was so epic. But yeah, the guy got turned to stone. Rose is trying to like grab his hand. The whole thing's falling apart, and that's kind of where it ends.
Yeah, and Rose is like talking about how Dart reminds her of Zeke, and she's kind of like, "Oh, Zeke," sort of like the way you think of Fran. So they were clearly involved.
Me? Yeah, but then she starts pining over Dart.
Well, yeah, because it's been 11,000 years, Bill. I mean...
she's still a woman.
We think.
What?
Anyway, you kind of fall asleep in the cave, and then a dog wakes you up.
Yeah, a dog and a boy find you, and then it transports you out of this cave. This is the only time you're ever in this cave.
Is that not the same cave you go to turn on the... No, I guess it's not the same cave.
No, I don't think so.
Cave you go into later to turn to open the gate, the sluice valve or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess you're right. It might be a different cave. But thanks, Poochie. Poochie the dog finds us.
Well done, Poochie. From Chrono Cross, yeah?
Yeah.
Travel to dimensions so this little kid could find us.
And Rose is Harley.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right.
So many connections. All right, anyway.
So you end up in a fishing village, right, that's sort of built on the water. Just what was the name of that annoying kid? Horcha?
Culture
shows up on a boat.
Oh god, culture. Ah, culture was torture. Hey, see what I did there?
Oh no. All right. So you're talking to the people in the fishing village and they're like, "Well, if they were on a boat, they might have docked at the town of Fueno." And you're like, "Great, let's go to Fueno," or something like that, right?
Yeah. Which is like 2 seconds away as well.
Through a dodgy little cave. But you got you're talking to Pete, and he's like, "Oh, I need to go to Fueno because my mom is sick, but we can't go through the undersea cavern because the monsters have shown up ever since the port, or there was a sea monster or something in the lagoon. I don't know, something like that, right? So they don't trust their ability to get through the undersea cavern.
Yeah,
together.
Yeah, and the sea monster is what everyone's been complaining about since, like, a few, like, quite a few hours ago in the game. Like, when you first get to the flower town, everyone's just like, oh, there's been a big sea monster attacking ships. And then it's just like, then the Queen Fury turns up. And they're like, oh, well, you're going to go out, but we've got to watch out for that big sea monster. And instead, we had to watch out for a bloody phantom pirate ship. Yeah, so
This is the custom.
So yeah, so we go through the cave and it's like there's a kind of like a weird whirlpool thing there, but you can't cross a little segment of it. So we just walk straight through the cave at the other end.
Yeah, so like, I got to the other side, I wrote, that's it?
That was it?
It's like
you couldn't take your mum through this one fucking dungeon?
Yeah, like it was one screen.
I know. It's just like that would have been so easy. Although I do wonder how a lot of these local people get around the areas with all these monsters attacking you. Or do you think it's the case that the actual protagonists decide to attack the monsters? They're just like, I've got a big sword and I need to practice. So, oh look, there's some bugs over there. You know, attack them.
Maybe the monsters are attracted to the power of the protagonists and so they're more likely to attack them.
Oh, that's a good idea. But yeah, I don't know. I may be thinking the world's completely safe and it's just we always control just a bunch of like antagonistic assholes in these games.
Well, starts walking around with his Dragoon Spirit just like hanging in from his sleeve, just like, hey, look at this. Anyone want it?
No, yeah, I was going to say, no, he's probably lost his Dragoon Spirit. Oh, that meme I found is amazing.
It stayed on when they fell in the fucking sea, but the guy took it or whatever. It fell off his neck.
Accidentally clipped it out. did you see that meme I posted where he's playing, where Dart's playing Uno?
Yeah.
Don't lose your dragon spirit or draw 25. Oh. He's got a little lost thing behind him. Reward, contact Rose.
Anyway, you get to Fueno.
So good.
And you go to the port. And the boat's there, and everyone's there. It's like, okay, so we were separated for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone's accusing you of sleeping with Rose. It's like, you two are together alone? You've definitely banged heads.
Yeah, well, Hashel definitely thinks that.
Yeah, but he's a whore. He's a horny. He's a horny old bastard.
They played Final Fantasy VII. They know what happens when you're alone.
Yes, when you're alone underneath an airship with everyone watching.
Yeah. Would you think of Fueno, the town?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was just a town.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. The thing is, the last two towns we've been to were very pretty. So this, I mean, it was still kind of like a seaside-y type town, but it wasn't kind of as impressive as the last two towns. It was a bit more plain.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
So, is this where we talk about... Yeah, I think so. So, I think we have to... I think we decide we're going to go take out the monster. Is that right?
I don't think because we really have... We don't really have much choice, do we?
Well, we don't have a choice, but why... I don't... Are we just like, hey, there's a monster. That's what we do. We kill monsters. Let's go. Is that what happened? I can't...
I think they're still... Were they still repairing parts of the Queen's Fury? So we couldn't use it. Oh,
that might have been what it was.
And it's like, yeah. Well, we're here anyway, and there's this monster thing, and it might lead us to... Yeah, I think they put a loose connection together between the woman we're chasing and the sea monster that everyone's been complaining about.
Right.
Who are we even chasing?
Oh, no, that's what it was. They said that they saw... Linus or someone fly to the cavern where the monster is. That's what it was. So we're like, oh, we have to go there to find Linus. That's right. Sorry, everyone. This is what happens when we take when Bill gets sick and we have a week off.
Yes. I was only sick for one day. I had a bad vegan pizza the night before. It just absolutely played havoc with me. So just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's not going to affect your body. I'm not even vegan. That's the worst thing about it. I could have had a real pizza. Anyway, so we then have to go back though to the what is this village?
It's like, called Lidera.
Lidera. I want to say Lydera.
Something like that. It's the fishing village.
But it's all broken. Like, the houses are made out of what looks like broken parts of a ship. She's like, did a ship crash? Or is it like the ruins of the Phantom ship have just like crashed into the Phantom, into this village?
It's like Fisherman's Horizon. It's just built right into the side of the, I don't know.
Side of the island. But still, I'm just very confused as to the state of it. I feel like, because Pete's house is definitely looks like a broken part of a bigger ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so does, like, there's a house that's, like, wonky, and the people inside just complain about how wonky their house is.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is definitely, like, I think this is supposed to be, like, the pirate, like, the Phantom ship sunk, crashed into this fishing village. And now this is kind of, like, the aftermath of that. But they don't make it clear at all, which is really annoying. But we have to go
there.
Yeah,
I just figured it was a fishing village and they just built their stuff out of whatever washed up, right? So,
yeah, I suppose. Maybe I'm thinking too much.
Because you can't go into the forest because the forest is haunted, or I don't know.
There's a forest?
Well, yeah, there's a forest. Well, we'll get there. Anyway, you have to go back because you can't get through the world. The water's... There's water blocking the way to the cave.
Yeah,
so we have to talk
Pete mentioned,
to the...
didn't he, that since the monster showed up, the water doesn't ebb and flow like it used to anymore. And then we go talk to the mayor of the fishing village who's playing cards with his friends.
Yes.
Just illegally gambling.
Like... Yeah, that's all he does all day. Just sits there and plays cards.
Yeah, winning fish. And then, so he tells us that we have to basically turn the gate, the sewer gate, whatever it is. We have to open it in order to drain the water. Because he said once the monster arrived, there was other fierce monsters in the cave. So he filled up the cave with water in order to block it. And I think they even make a joke, don't they? It's like, when we say, how did you do that? He's like, what do you think I'd use? Magic? It's like, no.
Yeah.
There's a lever in that cave. He's like, Dave! Yeah, Dave up there! Come down in the lift so they can use it. Just like... That was so weird. Like, there's five people in this town, and there's one guy just permanently on guard of this gate, which I thought was weird until we went in there, and then it's filled with, like, gleaming gems.
Right.
Next to where you turned the gate, and I was just like, what? What's going on here? Why are all these gems here? It's just like, these guys are gambling. There's a wreckage of a ship, and it's like a supposed fishing village. This is clearly... a bunch of pirates who go around stealing shit, and this is where they keep it all. I'm just like, no way, game. You're not fooling me. You're not making me think this is some quiet fishing village. These guys are absolute ruthless, cutthroat pirates. And like, this is like the remains of their ship where they keep their hoard.
Mm.
Anyway.
So now you can pass through the undersea tunnel. I think you're trying to go to something called Prison Island, right? Is that what it's called, Prison Island?
Yeah, I was a bit confused by that when they kept calling it Prison Island. Because I was thinking, weren't we in a prison, like hanging off the edge of somewhere earlier? I was like, they're not going to send me back to Helena Prison, are they? Not for a third time already. But no, it's just like, it was just a tiny little island. And I was getting quite frustrated in this cave. Not for any particular reason because of the battles, but just because of the item limit. I'm now really struggling with the item limit in this game, Frost. I don't know if you're feeling the same.
Yeah, I'm just basically just throwing stuff out all the time.
Yeah, it's the same here. And it's just like, because I throw stuff out to open a box, and then I normally get a worse item out of the box. And it's making me want to use a guide just so I can check what's in a box before I try and open it. Be like, is this going to be useful? Like, thankfully, like, the weapon thing is fine. Like, if it's a weapon, you're going to pick it up. But it's just like the other things. And then usually it's kind of a clue to what's coming up as well. Like, if you open a box and it's got a shitty burnout in it, it's not the game being a dick to you. It means the next boss is going to be weak to fire damage. So here's a couple of fire items. Mm. And I think this is the point as well where I've now switched my team around. So my team is now Dart, Kongul, and Sheena.
Okay.
Because I've realised, just for my own sanity, really, I'm I'm just using that team because it's just, it's the least amount of work with the additions. And people may give me shit about this, being like, well, the additions is a fun part of the combat. And it is, and I do enjoy it. But I think I was on, I know Deese has complained about Dart's 5th edition, but I was really struggling with his 4th edition and getting all the bits.
Crush Dance.
Yeah, damn, Crush Dance, whatever it was. And it was really pissing me off. So I said not on last week's, not on the last club episode for Legends of Dragoon, but I said it in last week's episode, that I grinded for the Ultimate War God on the pirate ship. So yep. I've given that to Dart and it does all of his additions. And then having Sheena means I don't have to do any additions, and yet she still kind of does half decent damage with a normal attack. Like, she does more damage with her attack than if I miss an addition with anyone else. So it's just like, I'm guaranteed that. Then also, her using items is absolutely really overpowered.
Yeah.
If you get her to use the attack items, she's really, really powerful. And so that means I'm just left with doing Kongul's additions, and he's only got 3, and I'm not having any trouble with the first 2 so far. So it's just like, this is my team now. Kongul hits like a tank, although he gets absolutely destroyed by magic, but magic barely affects Sheena because she's got absolutely huge magic defense stats. So it's just like, I've kind of feel like I'm in this perfect combination of having Sheena as good with attacking with items and also healing the rest of the team and keeping them alive. So that's kind of where I am now.
How does she heal the team with her?
Pardon?
How does she heal the team?
With items.
Oh, with items. Okay. I thought you had like some sort of magic or something.
Well, no, I mean, her Dragoon transformation heals as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you run out of mana in like 2 seconds, of course, because I don't have the stupid rings that you got from all the Stardust.
I don't know if I gave one of those rings. I'm normally just like, well, I'll get 4 heals with this. And that's normally enough to get me through most bosses. That and a few healing breezes, I'm sorted. But yeah, she just becomes like my support cast, basically. My supporting
Has there been a more like OP item with less... with ease of availability than the healing breeze in this game? It restores half the health to the entire party.
I know.
For like 50 gold.
I know, it's brilliant. That's what I mean. Most of my item inventory management, it's just like, well, I don't want to use these items down the bottom because I'm not really sure what they are. Like an attack ball, which I've now realized is just total bollocks because it's just, it does a random item attack. I'd rather know which item I'm using.
Yep.
So I'm finally clearing those things out. But yeah, it's just, yeah, healing breeze is just amazing. 50 gold.
And then there's healing, I think there's another one that does all your HP, right, for the whole party.
So, oh, yeah, I think we're just starting to pick those up. I think it's called like a something rain?
Healing rain.
Healing rain? Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah, we're just starting to, I'm starting to find those on the field, but I haven't found somewhere where we can actually buy them yet.
So what did you think of the Undersea Cavern? I thought it was... I went through the tunnel, so I didn't... obviously, it wasn't too involved.
Again, with every single area in this game, I love the background artwork. Just absolutely fantastic. It's kind of like the first bit's a bit dull, like grey, but then there's like a really like pretty kind of bit afterwards where there's all like stalagmites and sort of glowing things on the wall and stuff. And then you go up onto the top level of the area, which is Prison Island, and it's really grim.
Yep.
It's just like, wow, they're really contrasting the areas here. But yeah, it was really short. Wasn't really much to write home about with this place. But then we get to the top of Prison Island, and we bump into Linus and Lloyd having a little heart to heart moment.
Yeah, Linus definitely wants it.
Yeah, she's really coming on hard to Lloyd. And Lloyd's just like, he's as bad as Dart. And yeah, they have a little conversation. And so is Lloyd a Wingly as well? Was that revealed here? Because he flies off, doesn't he?
I wrote...
But I'm trying to remember if
all
he's...
All I wrote down was Rancor.
Rancor! Oh, bloody Rancor. we are just swimming in Rancor, aren't we?
He probably is. He's got the silver hair, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he has got silver hair. Same as Meru, who we'll talk about soon.
Yeah.
Yes, Lloyd. And tears give birth to anger. When anger turns itself into rancor, it opens to war.
Yep.
But Lena, has Lena's got hair?
I don't know how to photo. Where's that photo?
I mean silver hair, sorry.
Yeah, I think so. It's under a like a pirate bandana, so you can't really tell. I'd have to look at her dragoon transformation.
Oh, yes.
What'd you think of her dragoon? So it turns out she has a dragoon spirit. Don't do spirit. This to Frost. What did you think of her dragoon transformation, Bill?
Oh my God. Like, wow. I tell you what as well, because this was the first time I used Sheena's dragoon transformation was during this fight. And I was getting hot flushes between the two of them. Like, have you seen Sheena's dragon transformation? Where she gets she gets covered in feathers and then all the feathers like bounce off and she's like glowing naked. And then her like suit of armor just sort of materializes around her. And like, yeah, I mean like Sheena is hot as a dragoon. And oh my word, Linus is super hot in this like ice blue Shiva type outfit. And mm-hmm. I was just at this moment just hoping my wife didn't walk in and wonder what the hell I was playing. But yeah, Lena is probably the hottest girl in Legend of Dragoon by far. Linus, okay. Sorry.
Well, we'll do the rankings at the end of the season.
We'll have to. Meru's definitely at the bottom because of her age. But yes. Oh my word. Yeah, I was just like, because she'd just been fairly normal in the last fight. And then she suddenly like all of her clothes fly off. She's got this hot blue armor stuff on. Just, yeah.
Oh, really. She has, yeah, it's like a corset. Like a blue corset. It's a, yeah. I don't know.
The thing was, though, is that she was really disappointing as a dragoon. Like, the last battle was really tough. And she, like,
oh, she was way stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, but she was so much stronger just being a Wingly. And then she turns into a dragoon. And, like, yeah, you got this big dragon next to you. But you're both water, so you're weak to fire, which makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, well,
this was the moment where I realized, oh my god, the elements in this game make no fucking sense.
Yeah, did you know there were elements in this game?
I didn't. Apparently, purple means what? Dark? Or does it mean the other one? Thunder? No one knows.
So yeah, so you fight. Yeah, so basically, Lloyd pisses off and it's like, I gotta go do some stuff.
Meet me here if you survive.
Yeah, yeah, and so we show up and. We find out that the sea monster that had been terrorizing the town was actually the water dragon, Rigole, I don't know.
Yes.
And so Linus, so you have to fight Dragoon, Linus, and the water dragon at the same time. But as you mentioned, they are weak to fire, so Dart does like massive damage.
Yeah.
With his third spell.
I'd forgotten to equip his new sword as well. So he had like he still had his sword from before, which was I think called a heat sword or something. So it was like additional fire damage for his attacks.
Nice.
And yeah, like if I did his I haven't even unlocked most of his magic yet. I think I've only got like the first three. And if I used his strongest magic attack, it did like 900 plus damage to this dragon.
Yeah, I cleared. I went over 1,000 a couple times with it. Yeah, it was doing just massive damage.
I didn't quite clear 1,000, but I did a huge amount of damage. Then, like I said, I had a few fire items that Sheena could use. And Kongol, just on his own, was doing like 600 damage. He's just an absolute fucking beast.
Yeah. Because the first time, so I had to fight it twice. Because the first time I fought them, I'm like, water dragon. What do we use? Lightning. Nope.
Yeah, of course. This is what I mean. Like, why is fire strong to water? It's like, oh, because it boils it. It's like, yeah, slowly. How long does your kettle take to boil water?
Yeah, I noticed at the end of the fight, I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose this fight. I'll just use Dart's, like, fire magic or whatever. I'm like, why is the fire doing so much damage? So then I reloaded, and I was like, okay, fire damage.
Thank you, Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah.
For your weird element system. Ah, yeah. I mean, I suppose I suppose we've always lived with the was it ice being weak to fire in Final Fantasy games?
Yeah. Like, so I does no, that make sense? Fire as well? Is. Yeah. Well, ice makes sense, but not water. So that's sort of like in like some of the games have ice and water as separate
elements,
and some of the yeah. some they're the same. So here they must be the same. So it's difficult, right? So
yes, and purple's thunder, not dark. I think. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's move on before I get a heat stroke over looking at this picture.
Yeah. Well, so you fight, you kill these people, and then she drops her dragoon spirit, and it's the and Meru gains the power of the Blue Sea Dragoon spirit. So Meru is now a dragoon,
and she runs around with cheesy music, punching the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think I've used her Dragoon Spirit yet. I wonder if it's got more clones.
I don't think I have either. I think I put... She's not really in my party. I still have Hashel. And I forgot. Maybe I do have her in there now. I can't remember. She's quite low level for me, so I don't know. But you do realize that the Moon Dagger is gone. The Moon Dagger was passed to Lloyd before we got there, so we're going to have to go back to... Go back to King, what's his face?
Zeor? King Zeor?
Yes, King Zeor. We have to go back to King Zeor empty-handed. So.
Yep, but King Zeor does not give two flying shits. He's literally, oh, and I wrote it doesn't down, matter. Let's have another banquet. I fucking love a banquet.
I don't, yeah, exactly. I played Breath of Fire 3, and that was my favorite part.
All banquets in games, please.
So I wrote this down. Now I don't have the timing on this, but I wrote down Rose says I'm surprised that Meru was recognized. Did you not make note of that?
No.
So Rose says I'm surprised. Yeah. So that was like, huh? Why would Rose be surprised that Meru was recognized by a dragoon spirit? So that kind of gives you a little bit of pause.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 No, that would give me pause. Knowing what I now know. But yeah, you have to go back to the car. Sorry, where are you going?
Before you go back to the castle, we do have the finally, don't they kiss finally?
Do they?
I'm trying to remember. Do they kiss on the boat or do they kiss? You have to do the boat thing again, don't you? Do you go back on the boat?
You get back on the boat, but you just drive straight there.
No, I wrote down the kiss. Dart finally kisses Shauna. Where is it?
I think that's yeah, here. I think it that's happened. That's in the castle, isn't it? Oh, no. Or is it when Shauna... No, because right at the end of the Lena's fight, Lena like throws her dagger thing, doesn't she? And Sheena jumps in the way.
Yes.
To defend Dart, but then he like deflects it. So she didn't need to jump in front of him anyway.
Oh, did you talk to Pete's mum in Fueno before you left?
I believe I did. Oh, yes.
Because the
yes, and you get to yes, and depending on your answer depends on the people who jump out from behind you and have a go at you.
Yeah.
And you, like, you can repeat that as much as you want. So I did all three.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, thank you for reminding me good. That. That was brilliant.
That was good fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So
she's right behind me, isn't she?
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, he says something like not very nice about Sheena. And then Sheena appears behind him. You say something about Rose being like really stern. And she appears behind him and then slaps him on the back of the head. Then you say something about Meru being like too immature. And then she starts chasing after you and beating you up. Oh, that was funny. I forgot about that. Thank you, Frost. I should make notes, really.
So you're right. Yeah. So you sail back to Dono, and then you head for Fletz. And I wrote one more time through the Badlands.
Oh, the fucking Badlands! But it's not even one more time, is it? We have to go. Do we? We
oh,
don't.
That's right.
We have to go back again to get back to the fucking ship and go off again. Oh, god damn it! This game. Stop making me walk through the Badlands. We need a counter of how many times the game forces you to walk through the Badlands. That's what we need. Answers on a postcard, please. Yes, but anyway, we get to speak to the king. He's, again, he doesn't give two shits, we've lost a dagger. He's like, it's not about, it was just a silly tradition. Yes, one that was keeping the world safe. The important thing is that you're safe and my daughters are safe. Let's have a banquet.
Well, and then also Princess Emile is now all about basically getting with Albert, right?
And they're and Albert's like all about getting with Emile as well. He's like really coy and shy. He runs off and they start like reading literature together in her room. And it's just like, this is going to be the meetings of two kingdoms. At some point, becoming an even bigger kingdom. This is how empires are born. Yep. Yep. Starts off with two people falling in love, and then a bald guy starts shooting lightning out of his hands. We've seen it all before. But yeah, but then this is the bit where the sort of the gang split up, and then Dart and Sheena finally confess their love here, I believe.
That's right. And, yeah, you split up and you go around the castle. It's not the boat. You go around the castle and find everyone.
Yes. Yeah, around the castle. And everyone keeps interrupting you when you're trying to kiss. Telling you that the party's about to begin. And then you get to see... Yeah, that's it. Because you do all of that. Everyone keeps interrupting you. Then you've got to kind of get the gang back together. Kongul's like downstairs training and you have to tell him that he's your friend.
Kongul has friends?
he's basically the guy from the Goonies, isn't he? That's what I've come to realize.
I like Chunk.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, guys. What's the chocolate bar that he's always giving him?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the bar. I don't know.
It's an American chocolate bar. It's not one we get over here. So, that's going to really annoy me. It's like a Hershey's bar or something. Kongul's in the practice room. Rose is in the guest room. You get them all together, and then everyone's like, "Where's Sheena? Where's Sheena, Dart? Where is she?" Then you talk to the king, and he's like, "Oh, Sheena's standing out on the balcony, and Sheena's out there wearing this beautiful ball gown dress, and Dart's just still wearing his like dirty trousers and red armor that can't hold a dragon spirit in it for too long."
Yeah. Yeah, because before that, the king's like, the three women can see my dressmaker. And Rose is like, nope. And Meru's like, nope. But everyone's like, Shauna, you go get a dress.
Yeah, go on, Shauna. Get dressed.
She's like, you're a princess.
Pretty dresses. Me, Shauna.
Yeah.
Me, badly portrayed female character. Yeah, so you stand there, and then that's where you have your first kiss.
And then
on a shooting star, no less. Oh yeah, I remember now. There was a shooting star in the background. And then that's the end of the chapter. Oh, so I am on disc 3.
Yes. Now morning comes and we end up.
I think we just wake up in the next city, don't we?
I think. Do we wake up on the boat?
So this is chapter 3, Fate and Soul. And I'm pretty sure we just come into the city.
Yeah, we're either on the boat very briefly or we just show up on the dock in the city of Fernie, which is the water. It's like a flooded city, yeah, right?
It's basically another boat puzzle city. Like Venice. Where you have to, first of all, you have to work your way to the back end of the town to get a boat. And did you lie to the guy for the boat? You have to get a boat license, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I tried both.
Yeah, yeah. I lied first of all. And the guy told me I was a massive dickhead and told me to go away. So I then started. But fortunately, Legend of the Goon is very, very kind to you. And the second time round, I did it straight away. And it was just like, I didn't lie. And he's just like, oh, you're the famous seven who defeated the sea dragon. Oh, yeah, by the way, now that we've defeated the sea dragon, everyone keeps on calling us like the famous seven or something.
Is right, because right? word has reached that we've defeated the dragon. So in this town is like, there's a whole bunch of bounty hunters, right, in the town because of a...
Yeah, there's like a wild wolf that's gone crazy in the forest outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we have to get this. Yeah, so you end up walking past these bounty hunters and finding out about this weird this, like, there's a lost child and this wolf gone crazy. We get the boat license because we're famous. You know, that's how this works. Didn't have to pass a test. Just like, here you go, Kim Kardashian. Here's a license for the boat. Don't worry, I won't tell you how it works. And then we get to ride the boat, and you have to go around and find the mayor's house. And then the mayor gets in bed with his daughter. No, sorry, Shana gets in bed with the mayor's daughter.
Yeah. But this was the part where I was like, what the F is going on? Because
same here.
Shana will hum a lullaby yes. to put the daughter to sleep, and Hashel will recognize it.
Yes.
And he's like, that tune, I know that tune. This was the special lullaby that my, what is it that my wife sang to my daughter or something like, or, yeah. or
my wife. Yeah. So
it was Hashel's daughter's lullaby is what I wrote down.
Yes. So this was, so the connection here that I made for this, right, was Hashel, I think did Hashel make it up or did Hashel's wife make it up?
So it was Hashel's daughter's lullaby, but Shauna learned it from Dart's mother or something. It was
yeah. So I think Dart is going to be Hashel's grandson.
Well, why not?
that's where I think this is going. Like, Dart's mum would have been Hashel's daughter, who was killed by the black monster, and then Dart obviously is then his grandson. So I think that's going to be the connection here. And so Dart knew this lullaby, which somehow Sheena learnt from Dart's mum, despite the fact Dart's mum made it up just for her child. Yeah. So there's that. And Hashel just walks off going,
yeah.
Hey, I know that lullaby. That lullaby was made up exclusively by my ex-wife, by my dead wife.
She composed it. No, it's his daughter, right?
No, my daughter. My daughter composed and wrote that song herself. There's no way anyone else in the world could know it. Oh, well. Somehow Shauna knows it. I'll walk away. Shauna's got a different backstory. You can't rope her into yours, Hashel. But yeah, we agree. After Shauna goes to bed with this mayor's child who doesn't speak anymore, he's gone mute because her best friend ran away with a wolf. Plot devices. We have to go into the forest and accidentally get involved with hunting the wolf. I feel like it was accidental. Was it accidental?
Well, we go into the woods and... holy crap, I made some really bad notes here. I wrote down new map music.
Oh, was there? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, there was new map music.
Yeah, the music in this game is slowly getting into the meh category for me. It's all right, but it's just like, it's nothing... It's just, yeah, it's just becoming background noise, if that makes sense.
At which point, sorry again, because this was a couple weeks ago, at which point does the party split off, and is that when we get to the next town?
That's the next, that's after this bit. So this bit, we kind of work our way to the back of the forest. The big wolf comes through with all the hunters. It knocks a couple of the hunters off the screen, and then it runs off, and it's protecting the little boy. But protecting the little boy is a strong thing, because the boy literally jumps on its back and goes, run! The wolf escapes with him.
Yeah, and the boy's like, it's my puppy or whatever.
This huge, gigantic, 10-foot monster wolf is my puppy.
Yeah.
So we have to follow it. And then again, like, the boy is saying, please don't kill it. It doesn't mean to be doing all this stuff. And we're just like, okay, we'll try and help. And then the guard turns up of the town. I was like, oh, we've got to kill this fucking thing. It's so big. And then the wolf attacks it. So we're just like, oh, we've got to protect this dickhead guard. So we then attack the wolf. And this was actually quite a tough fight. I don't know if you had any problems with this.
I didn't make any notes, so I assume it went okay. I think I just kind of smashed it.
No, I kind of struggled with this. I only just about kept myself alive. I probably didn't have enough items. I probably forgot to stock up on the 6 healing breezes it takes to get through any area.
I think there was a lot of guarding, like a lot of defending in this one.
Because, most of his attacks didn't really do much, but then he sort of did 2 attacks in a row where he'd, like, stun you and then jump up on top of the tree behind him and then do, like, a massive electrical attack. So I should have probably had Hashel in my party, because he's, like, good against electric.
Yeah, I had Hashel, so maybe that's he. I think maybe I only had one person alive at the end. Now that I think about it. So you kill the wolf, and the boy's like, "No, Wolfie,
my poor cat."
But Shauna's like, "I have the power to heal you," and so Shauna brings the wolf back.
Yeah, but turns it back into a puppy, not into this deranged monster wolf.
Yeah. Then we go back to the mayor.
Yeah, we go back to the mayor. Everything's fine. Everyone's happy. And then we're able to... Because before, the hunters were kind of blocking us off from leaving. Although, instead of letting us leave the area, they were like, "You're trying to steal my hunt," and then push you back in. It's like, just let me leave.
Yeah. We don't want to hunt. We just want to go. And they're like, no.
No, you're trying to steal my money. You stay here in the hunting area. You bastards.
And it's only like... It's only like a 500 gold reward. It's not even... It's... I don't know. I guess that's 10 healing breezes. Who knows?
Yeah, I suppose.
Or maybe breezes are 100. I don't know.
No, 50.
They're 50? Okay.
They are 50.
So then we pass through the forest now, and we can go to the town of Deningrad.
Yes. Or city of Deningrad. En route, Rose says she's got an errand to run. And then Meru is also like, "Oh, I could do that too."
Yep.
And then I think they say, "Why are you being so secretive?" Meru's like, "I'm not. I was just doing what Rose said. I'm just going to go. My mum and dad live near here, so I'm going to go see them." Oh, who knew? Who knew what a mum and dad were going to be like, eh?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is like, and then this is like 3 hours of story content, isn't it?
Yeah. So you go to the town. I wrote down Signet of Soa. Is that? I'm trying to get the order right. But you go to the town.
Yeah, we go
you
to
end
the,
up going to a library.
Yeah, you go to the town, but the library is locked, so you have to go to the church, where you then get another big FMV about the well tree. Do you remember that? The priest tells you all about the well tree.
Yes.
And a bit more about the I think the war of the dragoons and stuff.
Yes, you get more. Yeah, I wrote library banter.
A library banter. No, that's after. Because you have to go through this cutscene. And I don't know if you remember this. During the cutscene, there's a scene that really, when it shows the tree coming out of the ground, the way it zooms in really looks like the FF8 bit before the flowers show up.
Oh. That's
probably just me from having watched FF8 so much in my life. But... Yeah, it's just, it sort of pans down and you've got this like blue sky, this cracked desert. And it's just like, they ripped that from Final Fantasy VIII, 100%. And then it's just like, yeah, then the big tree bursts out of this desert and starts planting its weird tendrils in. And he talks about how the 108 creatures and stuff. Yeah, all that fun stuff.
So the divine tree was sown by Soa. So Soa is the god?
I believe so.
Soa is the god that they worship here.
Yeah, and it's funny because like Albert and that are all like, never heard of him. She's like, we've based our whole religion on this entire area celebrates this religion, and you're the king of a region, and you don't know who this other religion is. Come on, Albert, pull your finger out your ass. But yeah, we have to go through that whole cutscene in order so that we can then speak to the librarian, because he was there listening to the priest give a speech. And then Hashel and the librarian have this weird like on-off banter with each other.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really work very well, if I remember rightly. And then apparently once we finally get the librarian to go unlock the library, the librarian is then the one who tells us all about the black monster, because apparently the librarian has spent his life studying the black monster for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to find out a lot more about kind of the two-sided coin of the gods and angels and demons, or whatever they're calling it in this game.
Right. So my notes here are, first off, they mention the different locations of the world, and I wrote, Bill should be excited for the death frontier.
Yep, I'm really excited for that.
I believe is a whole
region of death. That's going to be great.
Well, I think it's a desert.
No, desert. This game wouldn't have a desert. There's no way it has a desert.
Then I wrote, the black monster killed the child princess Luvana.
Yep, which we've pretty much already established is Shauna.
We think, yeah.
Well, you know, the game's not exactly being subtle about it. Pretty sure Rose is the black monster still as well. That's still my running theory.
Well, oh, it's, yeah, so the black monster will kill Luana's mother after telling her all that. The black monster will say that the chance, it has a chance for magic power that will lead to the destruction of the world every 108 years. So the black monster has to kill the child of the, is that what it is?
Yeah, the black monster turns up to kill the child of the moon. Because, I mean, if yes. we just flick forward to the bit where Rose is in Neat, so, yeah, we kind of get like a flash sideways to Rose on her little mission. Yeah. And she's gone to the town of Neat, which is where Dart was from, and where the black monster killed his parents. And she bumps into Sister Luana, is it?
Yes.
Is it? No, what's the woman's name?
Sister, yeah, Luana, yep.
Oh, yeah.
The second sister.
Yeah, she sees Sister Luana, who's like some sort of clairvoyant person who helps people out in the town. And she was a survivor of the black monster's attack. So only her and Dart survived this attack, basically. And she was there basically just visiting the memorial that's there for everyone who died. And then she gives a story flashback about the black monster to Rose when the black monster attacked the town. And the black monster, while killing her mother, is basically screaming about how he has to kill the moon child to save the world. And so this is one of those things where it's just like, both, like, if you were hearing this from both sides of the story, it seems like both sides of the story want to kill the other to save the world. So is there a chance that Shana is the moon child and she's going to somehow, or could somehow, lead to the destruction of the world? And that's why the black monster tried to kill her several years ago, but failed. Anyway, that's kind of what I got from it.
all good questions.
Yes. Ones that you cannot answer because you haven't played it either. Well, actually, yeah. No, you've played the next segment, so there's a chance you may
know
some
of this stuff. Nope, I have not. I have not played the next segment.
Oh, have you? Yeah, no, good, okay. No. So, yeah, that's kind of my running theory. I still think Rose is the black monster, which is a bit strange. And so I'm just wondering how, from 1,100 years ago, she accidentally ended up on the moon that never sets, like, encased in carbonite. And then on the 108 years was sent down to destroy the moon child of Shana and failed. And is now helping us for some reason. Because she's got the horn for Dart. fun times.
We cut to Meru, right?
Yeah, then we cut to Meru, who we find out is a Wingly.
Yep, who could have guessed it?
Yes, the silver hair definitely did not give it away. And also the lack of flying. I was actually really disappointed that during this whole scene, she didn't just take off with her wings and fly around the town. I was just like, did they chop off her wings for leaving the town? Like, what's going on? Why hasn't she got wings? And everyone else in this town is just flying around in their wings. And she's got her, who's her best mate who she meets at the entrance as well? Is it,
Bard? It's like
Gary or something, isn't it?
Gurara.
Who the notes are? Gurara. The notes that I'm reading here about this section says that that's her fiance.
Well, I didn't pick that up.
No, I mean, at the end, he like confesses his undying love for her and asks her to stay. It's like, I'll take all the brunt of your hate. And she's like, nah, I'm all right. Got things to do. Layers. I imagine she's always like got cartoon music going around in her head. She's just walking around and
So Meru is one of the few surviving Winglies who live in this hidden forest village, right? That's behind some sort of imaginary wall or something, or I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, they've got like a magical barrier, so only certain people are able to get through said barrier.
This is very reminiscent of Bravely Default 2.
Still in the wrapping.
So you end up talking to Gwara for a while, and then you have to go talk to the elders, right? And they're like, hey, I'm dad, mom, I'm back. And they're like, you abandon us, go away. And I think because isn't there something with the divine dragon? Don't they say the divine dragon is becoming reborn or something?
Yeah, they said the some of the seals on the divine dragon on the divine dragon's like prison have broken, and he's likely to break free soon because I think there's like earthquakes and stuff happening, and they're like, we've tried to keep him under control, but it's no longer working.
Right, and the Winglies have two sacred weapons: the Dragon Buster Sword, which we've seen before.
Yeah, so we know Lloyd's nicked that.
Yeah, but and then the Dragon Staff, the Block Staff, Dragon Block Staff,
the Dragon Pole, I think they call it.
Yeah,
so this is the one that they're going to pole dance around later.
But it was called like the Divine Dragon of the Seven Eyes, and I was like, oh, the seven dragons have combined in Chronopolis to form Dragonopolis.
Yeah, well, the seven dragoons have suddenly arrived near where the divine dragon is, and the divine dragon, yeah.
And Meru's Harley. Yeah. So anyway, you ask for the Everyone's stuff, Harley. And they...
Everyone is Harley. That's the key.
Yeah, so and anyway, you end up leaving, right?
Yeah, Meru... Well, basically, because Meru's parents hate her. Well, no. The dad likes her, but the mum absolutely hates her for leaving the town. And like the elder of the town also just has a massive go at her. She's like, but people are really nice. And everyone else is like, no, we hate them. We want to overthrow them one day. She's like, oh, so you're all sitting here seething with anger in your little forest area against the humans and just not bothering to try and fix it. So the Winglies hate us, and they're trying to stop the divine dragon from breaking free, and someone has snuck into the village and stolen one of their dragon busters. But they don't mention Lloyd, or if Lloyd's left the village at any point, or Linus either.
And I don't think Meru knows that Lloyd has it, because Meru wasn't there for that, and I doubt we mentioned it.
No.
Maybe we did.
In fact, wasn't there something that happened during... Oh, I wish I remembered this. I'm sure there was something that happened during the Lloyd and Linus fight where Meru goes, what? What are you talking about? I think it might have been when they mentioned Lavis's death. He's like, you killed Lavis, you bastard. She's like, who?
Who? Yeah, right. Like, I just got here.
Did you not discuss this at any point during one of the nights you slept in an inn? Like, go on, catch up, Meru.
There's also an FMV here where we see the dragon break free from its... chains, yes. In the volcano or wherever it is.
Yeah, well, once, yeah, we sort of go back to the village, and then just out of nowhere, like this bigger, no, yeah, we sort of, yeah, we leave the library, and as we're leaving town, Rose shows up with the Rose sister, shows up. And then they start talking to Dart, because Dart found out from the librarian, you know, that there was another survivor. So they start talking about Neat and stuff, and then Meru suddenly turns up, and then the divine dragon suddenly breaks free and starts like flying past the town very closely. And everyone's like, oh shit!
Yep.
There's a big fucking dragon flying around. And then and then I think the party is just like at the bequest of Sister Lianus, whatever her name is, Luana, she takes you to introduce you to the Queen Teresa.
Yes. And then this is where I think does Meru finally show up, and then they're like,
yeah, Meru showed up just before we, like when we were just standing at the entrance of town. That's what I mean. It's just like conveniently all the party get back together,
right?
Just as all the shit's going on.
Yeah, and then Rose is like, hey, you know, it'd be really good if we had like the dragon block staff, and she kind of like looks at Meru.
Yeah, and Meru's just like, what? How do you know about the Dragon Block stuff?
Yeah.
And then Rose's like, how do you know? That's it. And Meru's like, not convincing. Yeah, because I think
it's like Rose knows everything that's going on and just refuses to tell anyone anything.
Because everyone starts talking about the Divine Dragon. Rose gives up a bit of information about it. And yeah, she's the one who's like, yeah, we can only stop it with the Dragon Buster or the Dragon Block staff. both of which, belong to the Winglies.
Yeah.
So
Meru has to tell them that. Yeah. So Meru has to confess that she's a Wingly. right? Does she tell, or she says she knows where the staff is. Does she actually say she's a Wingly?
I don't think she says she's a Wingly, but she's like, I'll show you the location of the forest of the Winglies. Because she says the Winglies have got it. And it's like the Queen's like, oh, they're rumored to be in the forest, but we've never found them. And then Meryl's like, oh, they're in the northeast part. And then the Queen's just like, oh, we never went east. Jeez. We forgot to look in that section. We've been looking in the northwest this whole time. and then Shauna has a mental breakdown.
Yes, Shauna has another episode, and we go look for her, and she's like freaking out, and then all of a sudden her dragoon spirit just like leaves her body.
Yeah, pretty much, because she's
Oh, they say that she... I wrote down Shauna is the Moonchild. So I wrote that down definitively. I don't know if the Queen said that or someone said that, but I'm pretty sure that she is, in fact, the Moonchild, even though we suspected that earlier.
I don't think they say it outright, do they?
I wrote it down. See, this is what happens when Bill gets sick. find her in the right room. You'll find her feeling very weird. And then the silver white dragoon spirit will flow from her body to Miranda. Shauna will faint and Miranda will inherit the spirit.
Yes. And so she's basically just a carbon copy of Shauna. We've got a palette swap, people.
Yeah.
They've swapped Shauna for Miranda. So Miranda's gone straight into my party.
Okay. This is the end of the segment, right?
Yep, this is the end of the segment. The segment was Miranda joins the party.
Right. So I put her in the party, and then I'm going to see how it goes, but we might go back to plan A at some point.
I think you probably will. But I'll probably stick to Miranda. I'm enjoying having her in the party.
Okay.
Well, I've been enjoying having Shauna in the party, so I'm going to continue with Miranda as my Shauna replacement. Welcoming Creeley.
Yes, exactly.
You have successfully palette swapped you with your granddad. Thank you very much. But yeah, what did you think of this segment?
That was a lot of story. A lot of story.
It was,
in this
wasn't
one.
It? It was so long.
a couple of boss fights, but a lot of talking. So we kind of got most of the stuff we had been suspecting was going on was kind of confirmed in this section.
Yeah, I think we definitely suspected Meru was a Wingly.
And we definitely suspected Shauna was the Moonchild or something, because there was something with the black monster showing up on the boat, right? So
we knew she was the princess, which I think was pretty much everyone kept saying the princess is the Moonchild. So right. I think that's probably where it was confirmed. I think they confirmed that the princess was supposed to be the Moonchild, but then was lost.
Right, and we put two and two together that she's the princess. So, yeah, okay. So still, I still don't know how much information everyone has, right? They don't, like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Rose knows everything. Dart is just not paying attention. Hashel only cares what the ladies are doing. Kongle's just there to get strong. Kongle just want to be strong, right? And
Kongle's strong. Kongle wants friend.
Meru just wants to experience humanity.
Kongle wants Captain Crunch.
Been trapped in the Wingly village for too long. So,
oh, it's bonkers.
Albert just wants to get back to Princess Emil.
Yes, he's got the horn dog for her now.
Yeah, so it's clear that they're trying to get these relics back together, right? So they can, I don't know, resurrect the evil emperor or something. I don't know. This unlimited power!
Unlimited power! Where's my machine to move me around?
Yeah.
I could have just had a motorized wheelchair, but this is way more inconvenient for people to build.
Terrible movie. Terrible.
Right, this is a fantastic movie. You got to rewatch it just on its own. It's amazing.
No.
Yes, it's so good.
Do we have feedback for this section?
We have a little bit of feedback. I'll start. I'll read Scott. I beat disc one and did the first town twice. Does that count? Scott is playing catch up. I think Scott probably has done this segment by now, but only because we're like a week late. Deesa, I'll read her first bit and then we'll do her second bit later, but her first feedback for this was, and they jabbered into eternity. Which I don't think me and Frost conveyed it very well, but that whole scene after fighting the wolf up until the divine dragon, like we described it, is you arrive at town, talk to the priest, talk to the librarian, you get a scene in the Wingley village, and then you go back and then you meet Miranda and she joins your party because Sheena faints. That was like 7 small like bullet points, but that took about 3 hours. There was so much talking and FMVs that went on between that. It was just wandering around and pushing X a lot.
Yep.
And poor X. Poor X. My poor X button on my Vita is taking absolute battery. But yes, that's what Deesa said, first of all. Do you want to do Kaz?
Kazlo says, so we finally have some romantic acceptance between Dart and Shauna, and then Shauna leaves the party. LOL.
I really hope Dart falls in love with Miranda at this point.
Oh, God.
Just head over heels. I was like, oh, you're the woman of my dreams. I just wanted Shauna to have blonde curly hair.
First off, the boss fight against Linus was pretty difficult at first. I eventually had to sub out Albert due to his low magic defense, which had him dying in like one turn to the dragon's big magic attack. But after that, I decided to zerg down the dragon with Dart's level 3 magic, which was doing almost 1k a turn. With that done, it was on to Linus. And unlike any other dragoon, Linus seemed to get weaker as a dragoon. But outside of that boss fight, this was a story-heavy segment, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but definitely was missing. I was definitely missing the fighting.
Yes. I need to find a ROM hack of this game where Linus survives and joins the party, and then it all becomes about her.
God.
You're supposed to do your Kazlo impression for that as well.
Oh, right. That was it.
So, to finish up Deesa's feedback, she said, oh, so, for the good, dungeons are pretty and so are the backgrounds. They are varied and even the cities look lovely. But they talk too much. The dungeons are over in a blink and then it's back to a half an hour of talking. Oh, wait, no, 1.5 hours of talking. Every segment, I think, next segment will be more dungeon since we got a lot of story done now. And every segment, they just talk more and more and more and more. So, yeah, this segment was rough.
Yeah, I breezed through it, but apparently she's not one for the conversation that's going on. I'm pretty sure she's not fond of the conversations going on in this one.
I did find it draining, to be honest with you, in this segment. There was a lot of it.
And then Mike from Mike's unedited only plays says, so you know how I keep comparing this to a 90s anime? I know there are presumably dungeons and things, but all I remember in this section is lore. And I'm not even sure if all the lore I remember is from this bit. And it somehow feels much less personal than it should. Like we're treated to multiple history and theology lessons between brief excursions into the combat land. Anyway, back to the anime comparison. This feels like an arc, which is pure exposition dump, which presumably stuff could be happening. Any One Piece fans know what I mean. Fishman Island. I never watched One Piece.
Neither have I, so it's a little bit lost on me.
Okay. Also, as a tease for the next section, if you ever wonder if a party member could somehow be more pointless as an inclusion than Shauna.
Hey, I'm loving Shauna. But yeah, she has
she's
now
gone.
She'll be back, man. She'll be back. I know it will.
Oh, we'll find out. Maybe she's in the desert.
If she's not back after they set her up as the Moon Child and the Lost Princess, I'm going to be really fucking disappointed.
Shauna's in a coma until Dys4, sorry.
She wakes up and dies. Don't do it to me, guys. Don't do it to me.
Anyway, looking forward to segment 6, which is due in a couple days. What do we have to do, Bill? What do we have to do for segment 6?
You know, stuff.
We need to, by April 7th, we need to stop before entering the Kashua Glacier. So we're going to Iceland.
Iceland. See, no deserts. I can't see any mention of a desert in these segments. So, so that's it. There is no desert. Okay, we're going to the Iceland. We're going to the glaciers. And you're going to have to rub your shoulders to keep your body warm. Just like in FF7.
God.
Looking forward to that minigame in Rebirth.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens when I get there. All right. So, any last words on The Legend of Dragoon Segment 5?
Nope. Again, very, very story heavy. Not necessarily a bad thing. It was a bit condensed. I'm very confused as to the connections between all the things at the moment. There's so many things I just don't understand the connections. Everyone seems to think the other side is going to somehow end the world. There's a big fucking dragon that's just got loosed, but we're going to try and stop the dragon, but we are dragoons who have been given the spirit of the dragons. I'm just a bit like, I don't understand who's after who for what reason at the moment.
This is the supreme dragon god who's, I don't know.
From Chronolopolis.
I don't know. And Rose is so nonchalant about everything.
She is.
She's just like, yeah.
And yet she knows everything.
Whatever.
She's 11,000 like, years
old. What we don't realize is she can't die. She's just begging for death at every turn. So she's leading us towards our demise.
So funny.
Who knows? All right. End this thing. Play the outro.
Yeah,
Play the Legend of Dragoon music.
Yeah, Legend of Dragoon music that I stole from a website. So, yes, that has been Legend of Dragoon Segment 5. Just to say, thank you all for listening. If you've enjoyed listening to the podcast, please rate and review us on whatever podcatching apps you happen to be using. Spotify, you know, any of them. Audible, we're generally there. You can find us. But give us rating and reviews because that will always help the show. And spread the love as well. If you're on Reddit or anything else like that, please help spread the love of the show. It's really, really good. And next week we've got a double header Frost.
That's right.
I'm assuming shortly after this, the FF12 review will be coming out.
Right. Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Just about done.
Just about done. And then we'll be doing the Golden Sun Segment 2, which is stop before the Tolby boat ride. Stop before you get the boat to Tolby. And also Legend of Dragoon Segment 6, stop before the glacier. So, lots of stuff going on next week. Lots of episodes and content coming out. So, if you want to help support the show, you can do over at Patreon, www.patreon.com/RPGyears. And then you'll also be able to get involved with voting on the next RPG Club game when that comes around, as well as ad-free access to the episodes and all that goodness.
And, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have it written down ever, so
it's all off the top of my head.
something, if you'd like to get in touch with us, come join the Discord.
Discord.
Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yeah. Discord's always the best place.
Yeah, so the Discord's the best place to get in touch with us. This is where you can ask questions about whether or not someone's hair is spiky or pointy or soft. We love you, Mike.
We do.
And if you're link to the Discord is in the show notes, at least I think. I've never looked at the show notes.
They are link in the show notes and on our pinned tweet.
I know it says Rich and for I know it says Rich and Scott are still doing the show.
No, I have updated those show notes. I've still got Scott linked in there because he does do little submissions and we talk about him a lot. But Andy's got his it's just a link to his Twitch page. But yeah, I mean, if you can, if you want to, you can find Rich, the space ghost coast to coast, is still podcasting, would you believe it? What's his podcast called? I did the bloody artwork for it. Two Guides and a Beard. And I think also The Final Fantasy Show, but I don't know if they've actually started doing that yet. But yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, if I remember, I'll put Rich's links to Rich's podcast in the show notes. But I'm terrible at remembering stuff like that. But yeah, that's it. That's it for this week. I'm going to go play more FF12. Oh, no, wait.
No, wait. Golden Sun.
Golden Sun. Golden Sun first. Okay, I'll go play Golden Sun. I might just do one hunt. just one more hunt, please.
Let me just ask, how many do you have left?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
Plus a load of Espers. And a medallion quest. And a few other things.
All right. We're not gonna review Golden Sun.
We are. All right, everybody. Love you all.
Bye. All right. Bye. Stole your bit.
Amazing.
All right, I'm going to stop this recording at 1:55-ish.
Oh, that was long.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.